Enjoy those songs this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of James, James chapter 1. And we'll be going to the book of the Psalm. And we will get finally to 1 Samuel chapter 18 for the message this morning. We have studied for many, many weeks on prayer. Have not exhausted that, but the Lord has led me in a different direction. And then, of course, we had three sermons on Sunday mornings on judgment, God's judgment. And as I was sitting up here this morning, listening to the beautiful singing, the Lord gave me another thought for another series of messages. I don't know when we'll have time to do all these. It's just about timing, God's timing. It is perfect, you know. And if we'll get in touch with Him, the timing that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if he is leading us, then his timing in your life and my life is also perfect. Because whatsoever he does is perfect. In the book of James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That doesn't exactly go with the grain, does it? Temptations come, we fall into them. Oh, here we go again. That's their attitude. He's got a different way of looking at it. I'm so thankful. He looks at things perfectly. We look at things. His way is not our ways. So he says, knowing this, now we know it, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and that upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning and for the next several Sunday mornings, I don't know how long, about wisdom. We're going to look at the proof of wisdom. He's already told us if we lack wisdom, I think all of us have to raise your hand this morning. I know I wouldn't say, Lord, I lack wisdom. You may have gone to the best universities. They don't teach wisdom. Wisdom is something that only God can give us, the wisdom to act right, do right, and to learn how to follow Him in difficult times. The wisdom that we need to go through these tribulations that He orders and orchestrates and sends our way many times, that we may be tried, and in the end result, if we'll follow that direction, we'll learn patience. We don't have to pray for patience. It'd be good if you did, but if you don't have it, and you're a child of the King, He wants you to have it. And we're going to look in the next few weeks at those people in the Word of God that He has shown us, how they have lacked wisdom, but they desired that wisdom. And whatsoever our hearts desire, that's what He wants us to have. So look this morning at Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus instructing His disciples and to you and I through the Word of God. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. His instructions for my life and yours. He's gone on to glory. He sends the Holy Ghost to lead us to direct us. And He sends the sheep. We are sheep, sheep of His pasture. And He sends us out innocent because He has forgiven us their sins. And there are grievous wolves out there. He knows about it. But remember, sometimes the trial of our faith is amongst the wolves. And they won't treat you right because we're sheep and wolves love sheep. But that's okay. So we're going to look in these days at the proof of wisdom. If we lack it, He'll give it. But then He sends situations our way to cause us to use that wisdom. The wisdom that He gives us is to be used, to be, and so we're to be wise as servants, yet harmless as doves. Let's look at Psalms 101, verse 1. David is one that we're looking at this morning. David was a man after God's own heart. Just a little ruddy boy that the Scripture tells him. and he was the youngest son of Jesse. Now, God's going to use him mightily. We just got to learn a lot. Now, he lacks wisdom, but he sure does want it. And the way you acquire wisdom is through the Word of God, through worshiping, adoring him, listening to him, following him. And David now, let's look at this, first of all, a perfect plan. We've already seen that James says, if you lack it, he's got it to give. He wants to give it. But we have to ask in faith, believing. Now that he has told us that, we have to have a reason in our heart to accept his perfect plan. Your plan's not perfect, neither is mine. But since his plan is perfect, David has said in his heart, look what he says in the 101st division of the Psalms, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He makes this proclamation about this perfect plan that God has. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. God, if you have the wisdom to give, and you do, I lack it. I want it. And once you give it to me, I will accept your perfect plan for my life. I will behave myself wisely. What is wisdom? Wisdom is, any of you, when you were children and you were going somewhere or maybe at home, your parents said to you, now you behave. Anybody ever, mom and dad say that to you? And what each parent meant in that behavior pattern was different than another parent. Sometimes maybe one parent might allow you to do something that another parent would frown on. So we're all different in that way, that way, but in that manner. But every one of us, no doubt, has had somebody in their life said, now, it's a child. And sometimes we need, as adults, to tell somebody else if we have the authority. You behave. Now, you behave now. And say, David's already realized that God has a perfect plan. I lack wisdom that he has. So during the proof of my wisdom, I will behave myself wisely. What's behave myself? I'll hear from him. I'll follow him. And I won't fuss about it. I will accept his plan for my life. And I make this decree. Why would you want to change a perfect plan? Because our ways wouldn't like some of his ways. Because his is perfect. And we're still in the flesh. David says, I will disregard that, and I will adhere unto everything you teach me. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I'll get as close as I can to you, Lord. I will understand what you want for me. And during the course of time, whatever befalls me, I'll behave myself in a perfect way. Why? I'll behave myself wisely. Remember that word, wise. God has wisdom to give. And Jesus said, during these proofs, when the wolves come out, then we are as wise as serpent. That's a whole different message. I started to go that route. And we have time to do everything this morning. But wise as serpent, harmless as dove. He continues in the next verse. Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now he has another desire, as I'm walking and behaving myself wisely, according to the wisdom that you give me, of course, not his own wisdom, in a perfect way. And then he says, when will thou come unto me? How long do I have to endure the wolves? How long do I have to endure? When am I going to learn patience? Question mark. But while it's happening, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How's he going to accomplish this? He tells us, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and proud heart will I not suffer. So he has given us all these rules. I don't have time to go through that either this morning when we get something else. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. The proof of the wisdom that God's going to give him. And God's weighing us in the balance. And I pray that during this weight waiting process that he's waiting us, we will not be found wanting. 1 Samuel, he's already acknowledged a perfect plan. 1 Samuel chapter 18. The second thing David has to do is, of course, first thing is accept the perfect plan and say, to the best of my ability, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And this perfect way cannot be my way. David was a good young man, and God says, a man after my own heart. But he realized what you and I need to realize, our ways aren't perfect. So the plan is to acknowledge him and behave ourselves wisely in the perfect way, and he's going to be the one that describes the perfect way. Hardships will come. Wolves of all manners will howl and growl and try to take everything apart from us. But during the process of learning, we'll just keep on walking. Let's look at four things this morning. How David walked in that perfect plan in the 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verses 1. We don't have time to read the 30 verses. But let's read now in verse 3. Remember, he had an ally. God usually doesn't have to, but sometimes he gives us an ally to go through with. Sometimes it's a spouse, sometimes a child, sometimes a friend, whatever. David now, God realized he's going to have an enemy. Who's going to be the enemy? Saul, the Philistines, and his own self. The flesh is enmity against the spirit. So David now says, I'm going to, through the wisdom God gives me, I'm going to have proof, and I'm going to behave myself wisely in the perfect manner. Number one, and now let's look what happens. God gives him Jonathan, Saul's son. Unusual situation. Usually the son goes with the father. But this son is going to cleave to David because he knows God's already touched that young man, and he sees, Jonathan does, that his father Saul is got a lot of evil in his heart. Verse 3 says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. I'd say that's a pretty good friend, wouldn't you? The king's son. Well, might I add that God the Father has a son, Christ Jesus. And he has given us his all. He has stripped himself. He has went to the cross. He has given us everything. He has clothed us with his righteousness. Jonathan now, a type. And we're going to look at this Jonathan relationship to David. I don't have time to deal with it very long. And in the process of studying the Word of God and seeing how David and other men like him that we'll look at later on, Lord willing, were willing to walk in God's way and receive his wisdom that they lacked, and you and I lacked, and try their best to walk wisely in a perfect way, we'll also see many that do not accept that wisdom and want to walk in their own way. Saul was one of those. As we're reading these verses, can't help but see his tactics, how he despised the things of God. Verse 5. The second thing David is going to have to do, it had to please him to submit himself to someone else that was over him. A lot of times in life, children have that problem. Mom and dad are over them. Maybe mom and dad don't do right. I, as a parent, don't always do right. I had a godly mother and father. They didn't always do right. And my grandparents, as far as I know, down the line, godly people. Did they always do right? No, because they were in the flesh. But now Saul was chosen by God to be the king, but since he has strayed and not listened to God, he's going to treat David very harshly. But yet David says, the proof of the wisdom that I lack, first of all, I'll submit to his lordship, and I will walk wisely in the perfect way with the wisdom he gives me. In doing so, I have to learn to submit to those in authority over me. I am not only learned to, but I am pleased to. See, a lot of things you do, you obey mom and dad, and at the same time, maybe you were grumbling and growling, and if they could read what you were thinking, and God can, then you say, I'm doing it, but I don't like it. Well, David not only was going to submit to those over him, but he was going to be pleased to do that. Why? Because he knew Saul was right? No. Because he knew to walk in God's perfect way wisely required him to submit and be pleased with the way God had set up the tables. Now, see, God sets it up. He is the one that orders our steps. David is learning wisdom. God's got it to give, but he's going to have proof of that wisdom. So now let's read the text together in the fifth verse, 1 Samuel 18. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. We're going to see later on that Saul was going to send him to some places that he hoped the enemy would slay him. David said, that's okay. I will behave myself wisely. I'll be pleased to submit. Because he realized that Saul, the one sending him that was over him at the present time, was not in charge of his life. He was submitting to that leadership that he had to, but he realized God is the ultimate one that's in charge of my life. So he says, whosoever he sent, and he behaved himself wisely. Four times in this chapter, the same phrase is used with a little additional word. And David behaved himself wisely. No matter what came on the scene, God's ordering it. He's teaching wisdom because he lacked wisdom. And he's already purposed in his heart. It's a perfect plan. I'm going to follow your perfect plan. I'm not going to deviate from it. I'm going to walk wisely with a perfect heart. To do that, I have to be pleased to be over those. Look what he did. And in the same time, wherever Saul sent him, he behaved himself wisely. Proof that he's still learning and following God's directions. And Saul set him over men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Now, at the same time, we're going to see a few things that Saul was jealous from the start of David. When? Because he came out there and slew the giant, Goliath, of course. And Saul, it kind of made him look really bad because he had taller than anyone else, and he was afraid of the giant like any of us would be, but not David. And so the women started singing in town, Saul has slain his thousands. Give him credit for that. But David has slain 10,000s of the enemies. Saul gets more jealous all the time. He'd already promised the person that does a certain thing, I will give him to wife my oldest daughter. David, he says, who am I, just a ruddy little boy, just a little shepherd boy, to be the king's son-in-law? He didn't know what he'd be getting into if he was a king's son-in-law. But Saul now later on, to despite David, to treat him as dirty as he possibly could, had already promised David his oldest daughter, but when it came time to marry, he gave that daughter to someone else. Thank God for small favors, right? But at the same time, he's still going to be in the family. Why? Because it's another proof that he's going to have to behave himself wisely in that. Let's keep reading down to verse 14. This walking in a perfect way, he had purpose in his heart now that will be a pattern for my life. He realized walking in a perfect way and learning that wisdom that only God can give had produced a lot of results. The giant had fallen, and Saul was sending him out to fight the Philistines, and David would come back victorious every time. Not because David was a mighty warrior, because he wasn't. The scripture called him a ruddy guy. But at the same time, he realized that following this pattern, I have purposed in my heart that pattern that I said to start with, I will behave myself wisely with a perfect heart and walk with a perfect heart. And now it has produced some results, and I'll just let this be a pattern for my life. Look at verse 14, or verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000 and went out and came in before the people. Saul now was afraid of David because he realized God was with David. And he was jealous because he knew that he would not be blessed by God because he wasn't following the pattern. He was not receiving, Saul was not receiving the wisdom that God wanted to give him. Wisdom rejected that he could have had, but because of jealousy. See, the proof in every one of us, it's not just about David, it's not just about Saul, but in every avenue of your life and mine, he's still Lord and we're his people. And he still expects you and I to walk before him with a perfect heart. And that wisdom that we lack, we'll be willing to. So the thing that David did to get the wisdom and make proof of it, you have to do, and I have to do. We have to accept his perfect plan. We have to be pleased to submit to those over us. As a child, you've got to submit to your parents, right or wrong. And as God puts in his church, I didn't want to go this way, didn't mean to go this way, but God puts leaders in the church. Sometimes we're wrong. God puts a pastor in the pulpit, makes mistakes. But be careful, because if there's any removing to be done, it will be the Lord that has to do it. A lot of the people try to remove it on their own, get in trouble with God. All he's trying to teach them is, okay, it's a pattern that you have to realize and follow, and they have to accept authority. And when they don't, then they're lacking that wisdom, as Saul did. So it's not for you and I to judge. Remember, Saul was wrong so many times, and yet David behaved himself wisely and submitted and was pleased to submit. Saul said, go to war. And all the time, Saul was hoping that David would not come back, that he would be killed. And he wouldn't give him his oldest daughter, but it didn't bother him. It didn't make him angry at Saul. He didn't say, I'll show him. He promised me that oldest daughter, and he reneged on the promise, I won't serve him more. He didn't say that. He didn't even think that. Why? Because he wanted that wisdom. He wanted that proof of wisdom. And to do so, he had to be pleased to submit to those over him. And then it got so good, he said, I'll just purpose my heart to make this a pattern. And every detail in my life, whether people treat me right or wrong, God's in charge of my life. It's he that will give the wisdom. I lack it. I need it. And the only way to get it is just to follow his precepts. And the Bible says in verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Not just in one circumstance when he was promised something and didn't get it. But then when Saul one time threw a javelin, tried to kill him. Boy, you'd be mad about that, wouldn't you? And if he did, he didn't let it be shown. He still behaved himself wisely in all his ways. See, God's trying us in every one of our ways. What you think, you realize God knows our thoughts? So many times, and I'll pick that up in the messages of God's timing. So many times in my life, I've been thinking a certain thing. This is what I'm going to do. And the Lord interrupts my thoughts and says, no, you aren't going to do it that way. Oh, many, many times. And so now David is not even thinking about disobedience to Saul. Why? He said, I just purposed my heart to follow the things of God. I'll just continue behaving myself wisely in all my ways. And the Lord was with him. Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself, we add another word, very wisely. He was afraid of him. The scripture says David is behaving himself wisely. He'd already promised the Lord to do that, and the Lord helped me to do it. And now Saul's looking on and saying he is behaving himself very wisely. See, the world looks on too. And God's looking on. And God is making some judgments along the way. And then verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went and came after him. We got to hurry. We don't have time to read the rest of this chapter. But later on, after Saul said, well, I can't get the Philistines to kill David. I sent him out to war. He's outnumbered. He comes back and 10,000 people are singing in the street. David has killed another 10,000. Saul, he's a pretty good old boy. He's killed 1,000. matter. I can't get the enemy to kill him. I'll give him my youngest daughter to wife. You say, what's wrong about that? We'll see what the scripture says. Verse 19. But it came to pass at the end, when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to that, she was given to Adrian, the Mehethathite, to wife. But then he had another daughter. And Saul said, verse 21, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him. Why is Saul giving David to wife a younger daughter? To snare him, to entrap him. Now, David's got to really behave himself wisely in this. You've been given a wife, and the whole purpose is a snare to try. How's that going to happen? Well, I'm going to tell my servants to tell him that the king doesn't expect you to give him a dowry or a payment for this young lady, but he expects you to go out and kill 1,000 Philistines and bring proof of that. And David was happy. He said, I'm not worthy to be the king's son-in-law. The king has done all this to David, and he is still saying, I'm not worthy to be his son-in-law. He must be behaving himself, as Saul said, very wisely. And remember, the Lord's looking on too. And David says, I'm so humbled at this fact that he and his men went out and killed 200 Philistines. You ask me to do something, I am pleased to submit to your orders, sir. And if you want 100, I'll double it and give you 200. Why? Because I want to please God. I've been given a job to do, and to behave myself wisely like I promised, I've got to submit to that lordship. And I'll increase it. I'll be pleased to do that. But I want to go back, lastly, and look at how he prospered in the sight of God and man. See, this is working out really good for David. In the sight of God, not working out too good. He's been given a daughter that's going to turn against him later on. His wife will. But at the same time, he realizes, I've got God's good pleasure. And God will prosper me in everything I do. Why? Because I have learned, as Paul said, in every state to be content. I used to look at that aspect as a young Christian. And it bothered me. Not a lot in the Word of God bothers me, but I knew that if Paul was able to look at every aspect of his troubled life with all the problems he had and say, I have learned to be content, I knew as a young Christian that the Lord would hold me to that same standard. The Lord doesn't have a standard for you and me, and he's got the same one for all of us. So I realized that the Lord put you and I through certain tests, and I've got to learn to be content. I can't walk wisely and with a perfect heart in all my ways and not be willing to be content in every area, everything that happens to me. Now, wait a minute. You've been sick in the hospital, almost died 35 days. Were you content? I was. I realized God was in control. I was able to think, and now I'm not perfect. I got a million miles to go and just a few days to get there, so I'm running really behind. But I know that God expects you and I to be content in everything in their life. When people don't treat you right, as Saul was not treating him, I tried to kill him and tried to send out to battle so the Philistines would kill him. And now he's told him by the way of his servants that if you go out, and it would be nice if you give your father-in-law a proof of you killing 100 the Philistines. And he said, well, if he wants 100, I'll give him 2. So I want to go back lastly and look how this walking in God's way with the wisdom that he gives us, how it prospered him. Let's go back. We've already read it. Let's go back and look at verse 5. After he was pleased to submit to those over him, look what happens. And he was accepted in the sight of all people. You want to be accepted? Learn to walk wisely with the wisdom God gave us. Please to walk wisely. Not just walking wisely, not grumbling, complaining. Why is this happening to me? You say, I don't know what you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does. He orchestrates. He's written it. And I'm to learn to be content in it. Remember the last message we heard from our evangelist Thursday night? Wow. Many are the afflictions of the wicked, but the Lord delivers from all. Many afflictions in the cellar of afflictions, he said, but the Lord will deliver. And during the process of the afflictions, we're learning to receive the wisdom, because we lack it, that God gives us. Thereby, we're learning, and he has given us that wisdom. It's a wisdom he is pleased to give us. So now, not only was he accepted in the sight of all the people, but also in the sight of Saul's servants. Saul had servants that he was trying to manipulate and go out there and tell David this and tell David that. But they couldn't help but see that this old boy is walking wisely and the Lord's with him. Well, it's one thing to see what the people says. That's okay. But let's look at verse 14. It's more importantly to see what the Lord says about it. Verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him in every step, in every facet of his journey. Why? He's just using the wisdom that God's given him, making proof of it. And as he's going through life, accepting those things, pleasing to God, then the Lord was with him. And then Saul said, of course, he was walking very wisely. But I want to look at verse 30 in closing. Last verse in the chapter. He was prospering in the sight of God and man. Verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely. We've already seen that there's been another adjective added to the phrase. Saul himself said this old boy is behaving himself very wisely. And now the enemy, the Philistines, David behaved himself, another adjective, more wisely. See what happens in the journey of life. When you accept the plea that God has for you and I, do you need wisdom? Yes, I do. Then you have to purpose in your heart that you're going to walk wisely as you receive that wisdom in all your ways, pleasing, in authority, subject to those in authority over you. And the world will know, and the Lord will know, and the enemy knows. And now the scripture says he behaved himself more wisely. See, it seems to, why? Because he had already said, I will purpose my heart to make that a pattern for my life. A lot of people pick up a lot of bad habits in life. Don't write yours down, and I won't write mine down. But one habit, a good habit we could pick up, is just be content to receive that wisdom that we lack. And you acquire it, and the proof of it is the way you walk in all your ways before him, pleasing to him. And then he says, he's just going to walk more wisely. He's already been mighty good. Saul says he's behaving himself very good. And he's an evil man at this time. But now David said, that's so good, I'm just going to walk more wisely. See, we haven't acquired perfection yet. God will give us that perfection when he calls us home. But right now, we're in the flesh. But we can, as David did, learn to walk before the Lord in all our ways. When we make mistakes, he forgives us our mistakes. But David said, this worked out so good, this pattern. I purpose to have this pattern of walking wisely. What's your future, David? I'll walk more wisely than all the servants of Saul, though his name was much set by. The enemy was afraid of him. Saul was afraid of him. And the Lord was pleased with him. And David said, this is a good way. Why would you want to change or even not go with a perfect way? It won't be yours. It certainly won't be mine. It's got to be God's perfect way. How does he achieve this in your life? Well, Jesus said there'd be some wolves along the journey. In sheep's clothing, Paul said, hardly distinguish them. So God lets us know, and we learn a long way. Would you stand this morning, your head's bowed? Proof of walking wisely with the wisdom that we lack, that God wants us to have. Would you please come, Miss Misty, and sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. If you're this morning, you're a candidate for that walk and the wisdom that God wants to give you. And none of us could say we've arrived. If you think you've arrived, you've probably not even got started yet. But when you know, as James says, we lack wisdom, ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally. And that wisdom that he wants us to have, we have to have proof of it along the way. Altars open, whatever God puts on your heart. The best wisdom you could achieve would be, you know where wisdom begins, don't you? Fear of the Lord. When a sinner or some individual says, God's righteous, I'm not. And I fear to stand in the judgment seat unless something's done about it. And the only thing that you and I can do is accept what he's already done. Salvation through the blood. And the fear of wisdom is the beginning of the Lord, so I fear. Not that I'm afraid he's going to hit me with a lightning strike, although he could, but that's not the type of fear we're talking about. A fear of his holiness and their unrighteousness. And the way of unrighteousness can be dealt with because he wants to impute us with his righteousness. He wants to forgive us our sins. And if you're willing to accept that and walk therein, just tell them about it. And if you're not saved this morning, God wants to save you. You have to have a fear of an awesome God that's so holy. And we're not. But you know the way of holiness leads to heaven. The only way we're going to get to heaven is through the holiness of Christ Jesus imputed in us, forgiveness of sin. Your heads are bowed. Misty, sing.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him.
The Bible is just full of instances where God is teaching individuals how to walk wisely because they lack wisdom, as you and I. And he didn't put those in the Word of God just to tell a story. Every one of them is an illustration for you and for me how we're to do likewise. We'll be looking at another one, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. And along the way, every time you look at one, you see those like Saul. So don't want your wisdom. Not a pretty picture at the end result, was it? End up falling on his own fearing, killing himself. The ways of holiness get us to heaven. His holiness, follow him. We appreciate you being here this morning. Don't forget services tonight. Goodness of God, allowing us to be together again. So much to pray for, so many people sick. Brother Justin, if you'll go up there, please, the pulpit, the microphone, and pray for us. Thank you for coming. Thank God for his blessings. Pray for those hurting. A lot of the churches out there is hurting. Pastors are hurting. Individuals are hurting. Let's pray that God will be with them.
Lord, thank you for yet another opportunity to come back to the house of God. Lord, for another beautiful Sunday morning that you've given us. And Lord, thank you for the message we heard this morning, Lord, about your wisdom, Lord, not just man's wisdom, not this world's wisdom, but Lord, wisdom from heaven. Lord, I pray that we would take it to heart, Father, that we would find a lodging place somewhere in our hearts, Father, and we might, Lord, be able to use it throughout this week and, Lord, throughout the rest of our lives and help use it to grow closer to you, Lord. Lord, be with this church, be with these people. Lord, I pray you would meet the needs of our church, Lord, and you would meet the needs of our community and, Lord, the needs of our nation. Lord, we love you and just pray you go with us today and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.